In today's Holy Gospel, there's a man, a member of the Sanhedrin, the temple ruling leadership, who came at night to speak to Jesus because he was afraid of getting caught. He did not want his fellow leaders to be pointing a finger at him and saying, "Why are you doing this?" Nicodemus was a Pharisee and on the ruling council, and he came to ask Jesus some questions about his teachings and his miracles. And Jesus told him, now before I quote this, you need to know that there are several different translations that say this just a little differently. This says, "I tell you the truth." You may have read, "Verily, verily," or "Amen, amen, I say to you," and whether it's King James or the New King James, or the NIV or the ESV. "I tell you the truth" is the best way to say what all of those say. Jesus, in other words, was saying to Nicodemus, what you're about to hear, you better believe. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's what Jesus said. Something must have confused Nicodemus, because he told Jesus that no one can be reborn into his mother's womb. And Jesus clarified this for him, saying, "I tell you the truth." Once again, "Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say to you," or "I tell you the truth." No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, this new birth Jesus is talking about is the same that John the Baptist spoke about in John chapter 1, verse 33. "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." You see, having a relationship with our Lord, our Savior Jesus Christ, will change you and transform you forever. It's true that each one of us has a story to tell about how God has cleaned us up and made us totally different than the person we used to be. You've got to admit, if we went around the room, this could take a couple of hours, because we all have stories of how God grabbed us, maybe by the ear or by the the scruff of our neck, or maybe just with a hug, and spoke to our hearts and cleaned us up. Each one of us can be able to testify. That means we're witnesses. Witnesses of to what God has done in our life. Some of you have known and celebrated Jesus from the time you were very, very small, for as long as you can remember. But each one of us has been transformed in a different way or another. Last week we celebrated the birthday of the church, Pentecost, the day in which the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and changed them forever. We talked about the Hebrew word for spirit and wind are the same, ruach. Jesus tells Nicodemus in verse 8 that the Spirit of God is on the move like a fresh spring breeze. If you were to open your Bible, I'm not going to make you do that right now, but on page 1650, verse 8 says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going." What a wonderful example, which is so true. We have seen examples of the wind, most recently a horrible tornado that blew through this area. You didn't see the wind, but you saw its effect. Sometimes the effect is a calming breeze, and sometimes it's ready to blow you over. The Spirit of God affects our lives in such a way. And now Jesus puts the ball in Nicodemus's court. He says, "You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things?" Here we go again. "Very truly, I tell you." "Amen, amen, I tell you," etc. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. But still you people, and he's talking about the temple leadership, "you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Those are verses 10 through 13. Can you imagine at this point how Nicodemus must have felt? To be told this? To be told, you're not getting it. And how can you get it when you're not really listening? He's a very well-respected man and a senior teacher in the temple. But this way of knowing and the new knowledge we get through it is given by the mysterious Son of Man. Nicodemus had never heard this in this manner before, in this way, by this man. As a pronounced or a renowned teacher of the law, of the scriptures, he was familiar with the term in Daniel 7:13 of the Son of Man. But you know what? Here he was right in front of him. Then Jesus speaks about how Moses lifted the pole up with the image of the snake in the wilderness. If you read Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 through 9, the people were overrun with snakes and they were biting them. Doc, what happens with a really bad snake bite? It can kill you, right? Yeah. Now, some are not poisonous, but these were bad. These were deadly. And God instructed Moses to build a pole with the image of a snake on it. And he told Moses to do something unique. He was not making an idol, but what he was doing was just putting a snake on it. Now, Moses knew all about making idols and how God did not like that because of what Aaron had done with the calf, but that's a whole nother sermon for another day. And he knew how the trouble that Aaron got into. Anyone who would look upon the image of the snake, actually looking at it, not just a quick glance, would be healed and would live better than the best anti-venom made. Jesus was making a connection that the Son of Man had to be lifted up as well. And as a result, everyone who believes, truly looks upon him, will have eternal life. Jesus was lifted up on Good Friday on Mount Calvary on a cross. It was not a snake on a pole. It was the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, on a cross. The words that come next in today's Holy Gospel are the most famous and important in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus tells Nicodemus and the whole world that God's invitation is open to not just the first three pews on this side and the five on this side, but to everyone. All they need to do is one thing, to believe and be saved by God through his Son, the Son of Man. This invitation is open to the entire world that God created and loves. There are some people who reject this offer and decide to go their own way and do their own thing. It's kind of sad, but can you imagine how God feels? But I'll tell you what, God still loves them, and he continues to invite them. Slap him in the face, spit upon him, tell him no, but he's still waiting and hoping that your heart will change. Now, I'm very blessed. I'm preaching to the choir today because you come out on a Sunday morning for one purpose, to praise and glorify Jesus, the Father and the Son, especially and the Spirit, especially on Trinity Sunday. But I got to tell you, there's more, because the world likes to stop right after John 3:16. But Jesus continued with these words, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Isn't that great news? Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But, and here comes the kicker, whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. You're never going to hear this on CNN or MSNBC, or some of the other more liberal networks, you're never going to hear that. Whenever we hear John 3:16, our more progressive friends, and I'm saying that nicely, they stop right there and they do not want to hear the rest. Why? Because it's convicting. It's the truth. These words of faith and truth make non-believers extremely uncomfortable. You might hear them say things like, "Oh, how could a loving God not accept other beliefs and other religions?" There was even an Episcopal bishop who called God the Father a child abuser because he subjected his son to such terrible things as going to the cross. I'm sorry. You might hear them say other things, but I tell you, our answer can only be one thing. God loves you, and he wants you to accept his invitation. It's that simple. And he will keep loving you no matter how you answer him. God is saying, accept the conditions of the invitation or don't. It's that simple. We're not done. Because Jesus says these words which immediately follow the gospel. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. We all live in the South. We know what happens when you turn on the light, if your home has not been, inspected by a company that will take care of critters. When you turn on the light, critters scatter, because the light exposes everything. But this is the grace and forgiveness of God to those who believe in him, and the judgment of those who reject him. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I tell you the truth. You can't make this up. Jesus said it. Don't question it. And I pray for people who question this all the time. Our more progressive friends who feel, sin? What's sin? I don't believe in sin. There's no punishment to sin. No, no, no. That's not what Jesus says. That's not what God says. What Jesus said to Nicodemus are some very unpopular words. Words that have caused some religious leaders to reject Jesus' words and claim, and I quote, there are other ways to God than through Jesus. Not saying the Father, but saying God. How sad it is that some people reject the Bible because it doesn't fit their agenda. You've heard me say many times from this pulpit that agendas and cultural changes should not dictate to the Bible. But we need to get back to where the Bible dictates to the agendas and culture to be in accord with the Word of God. Jesus said in verse 14 of chapter 3 of John's Gospel that the Son of Man must be lifted up and that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Now, I've got to tell you, the result of this conversation, Nicodemus was so convinced of what Jesus told him that he became a believer. You want proof? I'll be glad to give you proof. Because it was at the very end of Jesus' life that Nicodemus, in John chapter 19, bought a mixture of about 75 pounds of spices with which to wrap Jesus' body within the tomb. He helped Joseph of Arimathea to put Jesus in the tomb. You don't do this unless you believe in the one you're carrying there. And by the way, Joseph of Arimathea, he also was a member of the Sanhedrin. and he was a believer. You've got to believe that these two men, when the high priest, when Caiaphas, the high priest, was saying, crucify him, they were against it, that they did not want him to be harmed. But we are so blessed that we know the truth, and we are called to share it, that Jesus is the Son of Man, and he is the way and the truth and the life. And I'll add this, no one comes to God, no one comes to the Father but through him. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.